Welcome to Formula One Plus One, where we break down the fastest sport on the planet into bite-sized episodes. Whether you're a seasoned fan fueled by passion or you've never watched a race in your life and just want to know what all the fuss is about, we welcome you. Get comfortable in your race seat because it's lights out and away we go. Welcome to episode 7. We'll be discussing the Australian Grand Prix. Today, I have Michaela's husband, Gil, joining me. He's the one who actually promised me that if I gave F1 another chance, I would fall in love with it. So I'm so excited to have him here recording with me today.
Hey, I'm happy to be on here. I heard the first handful of episodes and really informative. Even myself, I'm watching for the past 5 seasons. Still learned quite a bit from some of the earlier podcasts that you've recorded.
Thanks, Gilly. I appreciate that. Let's get into the track intro first. Albert Park Circuit in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's a fast track, about 5.2 kilometers, 14 turns, and 4 DRS zones.
And we're contracted to be out there until 2035, so we'll see a lot more Australian Grand Prix madness for the next few years. It is the home race for Australians Ricciardo and Piastri, and the honorary Australian Valtteri Bottas. Did you see his Uber commercial before this?
No, I did not.
You have to go and find it. It is the best F1 driver commercial out there. He's hilarious. He's got this amazing dry sense of humor and it just really speaks out to me. You got to watch it. I'll put a link to the commercial in the description for this podcast.
Your time. Because the only F1 commercials I see are the Heineken. Zero alcohol yeah. Heinekens in which yeah. they rotate the drivers.
Max. Yeah, yeah, they had Max on there now. So it was Perez last year and then I think the year Ricciardo. Before. Yeah, so it was funny to see Max out there doing his thing because you know he hates that stuff. There's always a ton of action here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like last year we saw all those DNFs, that red flag in the last couple of laps there, and that caused 4 more DNFs. So I was really excited to see what yesterday was going to bring. I guess we usually start with the qualies, but let's talk about practice first, because something major happened. Albon crashed his car and Williams didn't have a spare chassis. Albon has been performing better than Logan Sargeant. They ended up giving Albon Sargeant's car. Alex crashed his car, but the person who was punished was Logan, right? So that kind of sucks. That raises the question, would this happen on any other team where one driver crashes the car and it's the other driver that suffers the consequences?
This is a tough question because I know in the case of Williams, their main priority is to get some points.
Get a point.
Yeah.
Any point.
Yeah. And with Albon, in comparison to Logan Sargeant, just has that much better of a chance to get within the top 10.
Yeah, I think the fact that Albon's being courted by other teams, with that being said, Williams probably wants to hold on to him. And this is one of the ways that's going to happen,
just
right?
Just showing that he's the main driver, the primary driver. Yeah.
So I don't know, like if you look at maybe Mercedes might have taken Russell's car and given it to Hamilton back in the day.
It's tough this early on in the season versus a driver taking another driver's car in a race if they're battling for a specific position. When it comes to drivers' championship points or even constructors' championship points, just getting any sort of points. But it's tough to tell, considering I don't recall seeing this come up in the past.
I want to use the word unprecedented.
It's
wild. Like when I saw him crash his car and then hearing them saying they don't have a spare chassis, well, they might not have a spare chassis. Like, it didn't even cross my mind that they would take Logan's car away from him.
And to be honest, I wasn't even sure that they were able to do that.
Yeah, totally. Like, really sad for Logan Sargeant. It's only his second year in F1, and he was one of the DNFs, and then the fact that he didn't even get to race this year. I feel bad. I just feel bad for all drivers all the time. So
it's one of those things, too, where you're not a veteran, you know, have to take one for the team a lot of the times, whether or not it's in race swaps for position hey, we appreciate you, but can't use your car. Your teammate will.
Red Bull is, I feel like, probably the only team that I could see this type of thing happening where they would say, you know what, Max crashed his car, Perez, we got to take your car and give it to Max. I don't see any other team doing doing that.
Yeah, because I mean, for Red Bull, I don't want to say generational talent, but again, he's won the last three championships.
Yeah, so.
So he just gets what he needs and what he wants.
Yeah, and that's fair, right? Like, you're going to give the car to the driver with the best chances to win. And it's a really weird scenario. It sucks to be Logan. It is, yeah. So many teams that are fighting for those scraps in the mid and backfield. They did what had to be done.
You know, there's only limited spots on the grid. At the end of the day, you get to race at the highest level. So if you can't perform, then unfortunately, you know, that's the way sports...
It is what it is. But you know what? It worked out for me because I have Albon in I think all of my fantasy league teams, so
yeah, Albon has always been a good pick considering he almost always finishes ahead of his teammate, as well as, you know, time to time jumps up positions.
He's a good bet for your money.
Yeah,
because he doesn't cost a whole lot yet, right? So
yeah,
let's get into the qualies. So Hamilton out in Q2, he started in P11, right?
Yeah, Mercedes is a little bit, not necessarily everywhere, but...
He's having a really hard time with the car this season. Like, can't get the settings right. His mind is with Ferrari already or something. It's yeah. It was heartbreaking to hear, are we good? And they're like, no, you're P11. Like,
was usually a least hopeful track for them.
They've been on the podium there since, like, 2014 or something. Yeah, him starting in P11 was not giving them the best of chances. No, Max takes pole, third in a row. There was a bunch that him and Leclerc were sharing that front row.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Leclerc ended up, he aborted his last Q3 lap, and so he dropped. He shared the front row with another Ferrari driver, so yeah. Carlos Sainz was in there, and that was amazing because he was saying he wasn't 100%. He was going to give it all he could. Yeah. So it was really amazing to see him share that front row with Max. I think Perez finished third, but he ended up getting a grid penalty. So
He started sixth.
Yeah, he dropped three. Yeah, so that's why Norris and Leclerc ended up sharing the second row. So yeah, Ricardo, it was his home race, right? And he ended up
getting a lap deleted.
He ended up starting in 18th. It was devastating for the Australian crowd. And that was kind of the qualies. Let's get into the race. Max Verstappen takes off. He had an okay start.
For the most part, doesn't matter how he starts. Yeah. Time and time again shows us that he could finish first.
Yeah.
And by quite a bit of margin crazy. As well.
Sainz overtook him in lap two already before the smoke even started, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think the first mention of Verstappen with any sort of car issues was lap three.
Oh, okay.
But again, there could have been some other
radios that weren't. Yeah, I love the DRS starting in lap two already, because like there's just that much more racing.
Yeah,
like right off the start.
Yeah, because like it's just a tighter grid at that point after lap two. Because if you started any later, there's, you know, especially with Verstappen being how he is,
he's already
beyond any second place is beyond DRS.
Where nobody's in his DRS anymore, right? So. Lap four?
Yeah.
Is that when he came in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was like a bit of smoke, and then...
There was a big puff of smoke as he was coming down the pit lane.
Yeah, I saw that. It was kind of cartoon-like.
It was so dramatic.
like a train from Looney Tunes or something.
When's the last time he DNF'd? Because he's been consistently finishing. Like, he's so good with his car, right?
It's at, like, overall, like, Red Bull has been very reliable. But in terms of Max, I think I read it was 43 consecutive finishes.
That's insane. Prior to... That's got to be a record. Is that a record?
That could, that could be.
That seems like a lot of freaking races to not DNF. Like, he's such a reliable driver, and it's such a reliable car.
Yeah,
like,
because I mean,
Adrian Newey is freaking amazing. Yeah, you know?
Going 43 races without a crash, or 43 races with no mechanical problems.
Yeah,
but, you know, just both of those put together.
Yeah,
just not any issues for such a long time. I think it was 2022 was the last. Yeah, that's crazy. Red Bull and, well, Verstappen in particular just has cheat codes going on with that car and that driver. And
that's pretty funny. So Perez, he ended up in seventh, but then he ended up getting bumped up a place because of a penalty. I think he finished in sixth. But yeah, both Mercedes drivers were talking about how fast his car was. They call everybody else's cars like rocket ships.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it also, it's, you know, if another car has quicker straight line speed than your car, then somewhat of an easy out to say, well, that car is fast.
That car is so fast. You know what? I feel like it's just the other car is real fast. I feel like I hear Lewis Hamilton saying that quite often. Like, oh, that car is so fast.
Things a rocket ship.
Perez, unfortunately, didn't finish as well as they had hoped.
Yeah, there wasn't many updates from him. It was it was a pretty steady race for him.
George overtook him quite early on in the race.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was having a hard time gaining his position back.
But at the start of this race was, you know, second in points. And obviously he drives the same car.
Yeah.
So you just expect him to even fight for a podium.
Yeah, it was a Red Bull 1 and 2 for the first two races. So for him not to even podium, that sucks. But yeah, let's get back to George Russell and Mercedes. So Hamilton ended up DNFing in lap 15, I think, was engine issues.
Yeah.
So after Hamilton DNF'd, George Russell was the only hope.
Yeah. And he was, especially later on in the race, was battling Alonso.
He crashed right at the end there. There was that whole thing with Alonso, like potentially dangerous driving, and maybe that the dirty air might have been the cause of George's crash. But yeah, did you hear the onboard?
Yeah.
Of George after?
It was pretty frantic. It's but also like I'm
calling
also
for the red flag. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was surprised to see it as a virtual safety car, like especially being on a turn.
Yeah.
One of the roughest turns, as the drivers were saying through like the whole weekend. Yeah. He's on his side too, right? So he has no idea. Just panicking, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That would have probably made for a good last.
Oh my God.
Last lap, they pull red flag on 57 and somehow have them restart.
They did that last year. Well, it was really close to the end and they had a restart, and that's what caused the other four DNFs later, because it was just pandemonium.
The tires were
crazy.
Cold.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone's just fighting for positions, right? Yeah. So Alonso, they gave him a drive-through penalty after the race, translated into a 20-second time penalty, which dropped him two places.
Yeah, from sixth to eighth.
Yeah, and that bumped up his teammate Lance Stroll and Yuki Tsunoda.
That one, I wasn't 100% sure exactly what the penalty was. I understand it was some form of,
I think they called it potentially dangerous driving or something like that. Yeah, so I don't think that they could officially rule that he actually caused the crash. Anything else happened in the... Kick Sauber had a really bad pit stop. I think both of them.
Like, yeah.
This is 3 for 3 already this season.
It is, yeah. And it's one of those preparation or something...
You know what they need to do? They need to do, like, you know, have you seen those Red Bull videos of how they practice their pit stops? They, like, do their stuff in the dark. They'll do pit stops with zero gravity. Like,
there's long pit stops that are 4 seconds, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But once you hit 20 they've done a few times already this
season.
Well,
the drivers are, like, having coffee while in the pit lane, so.
Good benchmark is just sub 3.
Yeah.
It's pretty consistent.
You know what's crazy? Because obviously Ferrari is known for some shitty ass pit stops, especially in the last 2 years, right? That magic that they pulled with Leclerc, sub 3, and he pulls out of the pit lane just barely in front of Perez and Alonso. Barely. Like, had Ferrari pulled their usual Ferrari antics, he would have had to fight.
It's as simple as you think they are in terms of when to do it. It's the same thing.
Yeah, how many?
Tires off, tires in.
Yeah, yeah. You think.
It seems as if Ferrari has greatly improved. Whenever I think of Ferrari, I think of the season in which they did have a fighting chance for the at least the Constructors' Championship, and they couldn't. Yeah, you have the strategies are all messed up, and then you got the actual pit stops were all messed up. Yeah. Just inability to direct their drivers.
Yeah. It just feels like there were so many preventable things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to see that they're pretty consistent with those those pit stops this year. Getting back to Kixhaber, like on top of their long pit stop, Zhou had to start from the pit lane. So that already he was starting at a disadvantage. I just wanted to do a shameless plug. If you want to know more about pit lane starts, I did do an episode on that earlier, episode 6. You can learn more about that there. Who else is left? Williams. Albon had a lot of pressure on him, right? Obviously took Logan's car. Couldn't crash it because it's their last chassis.
Don't think they would have basically a car to race ever to use.
He had to play it safe. It's sad because like they had to do that to Logan and Albon came out with no points anyways.
Yeah.
So Haas, two of them in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. They got those points that, you know, all of those other five teams are like fighting for, right? They're scrapping for them. So good for them. McLaren though, like we've never had an Australian podium at the Australian Grand Prix. So seeing Piastri up there, like the crowd was going absolutely nuts when he was behind the two Ferraris, because it looked like they might actually have an Australian on the podium. And then as soon as they caught wind that Leclerc was struggling, they made Piastri swap his positions with Norris.
And again, it's tough. It's one of those, again, pretty much what we discussed at the at the start of the
with Albon.
Where it's like you got to do what's basically best for the team.
Lando had fresher tires too.
Yeah,
I think it was like 5 laps fresher. I mean, he was in a better position.
Yeah, to potentially catch up to
Leclerc. Unfortunately, that didn't work out for them because Ferrari crushed it.
It was just an overall phenomenal drive by Sainz.
Magical. 2 weeks post-op. Smooth operator.
Yeah.
Smooth operation.
So, I mean, lap 2, I think it had the race on lock.
Ferrari's car, man, race pace has definitely improved. I don't know that it's at Red Bull's level quite yet.
Even though there might be just much improvement for Ferrari's car this year, and maybe they're getting closer and closer to what Red Bull has achieved with their god car right now, they still have Verstappen to compete with, right? And you can see that even now, they can potentially beat the Red Bull car with how Perez finished up. But
it's now the driver.
It's a different story when it comes to
Take it the rest of the way. I don't know.
I'm not the biggest Verstappen fan, but you probably put him in a Ferrari and he's top of the field.
I don't know. We will see. It's nice to think that we might see battles for first, but realistically.
Yeah, that's a rough one. I think we might see some battles for second. I'm hoping for first. You know, I have drivers that I like more than others, but sometimes at the end of the day, I just like to see just good competition.
Yeah, Ferrari made strides in progress in their car late into last season. So I'm not going to discount them giving Red Bull a run for their money still. Maybe not just yet, but I'm hopeful and delusional. But yeah, so we took out his appendix and he wins a freaking race.
I don't know the recovery period of an appendix.
It's long.
Is it? Okay.
I feel like for a normal person, it's more than 2 weeks.
It's like, it could possibly be. And I don't like to discount things and say
Carlos is superhuman.
Again, I don't know the details. I'm indifferent. I don't know what I don't know.
Okay, so the podium. Michaela and I have been seeing 2 Red Bulls and a Ferrari for the last couple of things. So it's really nice to say 2 Ferraris and a McLaren. So Sainz took first, Leclerc took second, and then Norris took third. It was nice to hear something other than the Dutch national anthem.
Yeah, like I said, it's always nice, especially in the past year, 2 years, even.
Yeah, we've heard it just so having many times.
You know, it's
nothing against the Dutch national anthem, of course, but
just seeing a little bit of competition and variety
with the standings being what they are right now. Like, it would be really cool to see this much variety in it.
Yeah.
Going through the season, we got to hear the Spanish national anthem. We got to hear the Italian national anthem. And just the way the sun was shining down on first place on the podium, it was absolutely perfect. He came out and gave it everything, even though he said he couldn't give it 100%. Maybe he just said that just in case he didn't perform well, but yeah, still, regardless.
Thank you for mentioning yeah. that.
I know you were thinking that. I think he's superhuman, but I'm just saying. He's definitely showing prospective teams his worth. Mm-hmm. They already know that, but
yeah,
he's going to land on his feet. Where yeah. are you thinking he's going to end up?
I mean, he was more than likely expecting an extension on his contract with Ferrari. So having to start the season, launch day, knowing that he's getting booted from the team, especially because he was
the only
non-Red Bull driver in 2023 to win a race. Yeah. I'm sure he's guaranteed a spot at one of the top teams. I don't see him going to...
You have no prediction on what team?
No, exactly. I would say perhaps either Mercedes or Red Bull.
He has a reputation with Red Bull already because he raced with Max in Toro Rosso days, mm-hmm. right? So he's no stranger to them. Perez took second place those first two races. This race, you know, him finishing further down the grid, it's like, okay, Carlos Sainz moving over there is more of a reality maybe, right?
Yeah, the one thing with Red Bull, him going to Red Bull, it's one of those things too where you're essentially going there to be a support driver. Yeah, right. Again, it's still the best team, but you're definitely second.
Yeah, you know where your place is if you go over there, right? You don't think McLaren, though, that'd be a step down for him, you think?
I think if it comes down to it, he'll probably take a seat.
Okay, wait, because Piastri hasn't extended his contract yet, right?
Yeah, I think yeah. Norris is signed for
a bunch of years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love, love, love Charles and Carlos being teammates. Definitely my favorite team pairing, but second to them is Carlos and Lando. Out of anyone on the grid, I'm pretty sure he'd choose Lando. So seeing them race together again, I think that'd be pretty cool too. McLaren's not doing bad this season, so.
Actually, they're doing really, really well.
Yeah.
I think right now they're ahead of Mercedes, yeah, for constructor standing.
So yeah, he wins the champagne. Let's do this for Michaela, who's yeah. going to be listening to this later. Yeah. I know she was upset with how unbubbly the first yeah. two champagne...
Carbonation yeah. was not...
But going. I think she was probably happy with yesterday's celebration.
Yeah.
It was flowing.
It was quite bubbly. It was yeah. Almost over-carbonated.
I don't think Michaela would agree with that. I don't think there's such thing as over-carbonation.
Yeah, it was a good flow of bubbly.
Yeah.
Very limited shakedown to get the type of yeah, distance right? from... Yeah. So it like, was an actual good celebration.
It was a great celebration for them. You wouldn't even know. He was just in surgery 2 weeks before, the way he was going crazy on that podium. Well-deserved. Considering he didn't get nearly as much time training, like, or in the simulator as all of the other drivers did, including Leclerc, like, and the fact that he still got first, like, kudos, Carlos Sainz, you are the man. Any last thoughts?
No. It's the upcoming race is Japan.
Yeah, we've got a couple weeks before Japan. So I'm excited for that one. You joining me?
Can't promise you.
What? Oh, I feel like you've heard the other two episodes where I con Michaela into joining me.
But if I can make it, I will definitely be there.
Yeah, it's a good one. That's the only track that I've actually visited, the Suzuka circuit. So
yeah,
I got to drive on it. So yeah, I'm really excited for that. Thank you, Gil, for joining me. I really appreciate it. It's nice.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's really nice to, because I love having Michaela on, but we tend to agree on so many things. So it's nice to have like a different.
A little bit of a naysayer? Or
A little bit of a hater. Yeah. Maybe
more of a realist.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say that. Yeah, so more bringing us down to earth and just not everything is always roses, and it is what it is sometimes. You gotta be the best, and if you're not, then that's on you, man. Like, you can't blame it on anyone else, right? So I really appreciate your perspective on racing, and thank you so much for joining me, and I hope that you join me again.
Yeah,
I'll take that as a commitment. Oh, and hey guys, before I forget, if you could rate the show on whatever platform that you're listening on, it really helps with the impressions that the platform gives me. So thank you again for listening, and I hope you tune in again next week. Thank you. Take care. And as the Trek
checkered flag waves for this episode, we thank you for tuning in. Whether you're listening from the grandstands or your living room couch, we appreciate you spending your valuable time with us. Tune in next time for more fun. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss out. Catch you at the next pit stop.